With Raymond Grace, our special guest tonight. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, raymondgrace.com. And we will be right back on Coast to Coast AM. Raymond, can we shield ourselves to keep these bad entities from getting to us?
That's a good question, George. Sometimes I think we can, but the best way that I know of to shield ourselves is just to have an attitude. People ask me, said, what do you do for protection? My answer is, I have an attitude. Because, frankly, I believe there's a very thin line between our belief system and our attitude, and our belief system is the dominant factor that controls everything that happens to us. So I don't have any fear in dealing with these things, because fear is one emotion that would attract them and make a person a victim. So I tell people, if you're afraid to do this stuff, then don't.
The spirits that you have helped move on, let's use them in the various categories. We'll talk about the shipwrecks and things, but those killed in accidents on the highway, you briefly touched on it. Let's go back.
All right, sir.
All right. So what, somebody calls you, or do you find these spots? What happens?
Well, those on the highway, no, sir. I just in traveling across the country, which I do quite a bit, every time I would see a cross on the side of the road, I would just check to see if there was any spirits still left there. And in some cases, there were. In some cases, there weren't. Now, a very strange thing happened that we're not sure we understand, but we can guess at it. We probably did this for a year or longer. And during this time, we found, I guess, a few hundred spirits. Now, we don't know who they were or anything like that. I would just see the crosses or a wreath of flowers or whatever, and it was what I call a random act of kindness. And we would go ahead and move the spirits on over to another realm. Now, can I prove they went? No, sir, I can't. Not a bit. But what an interesting thing happened. I started putting the word out in the classes I taught about the project and encouraged other people to do the same thing. And then one day I saw some crosses and there was no one there. And I started looking, and I could hardly find, well, actually, I couldn't find any. And I'm often wondered what happened. Did someone do a project in connection with this that actually cleared them all up? Or was it something like the 100th monkey syndrome? Whenever you do something enough times, it becomes common knowledge and doesn't have to be taught anymore. And I'm really not sure which the case was, or it may have been some other factor. Now, I do have a story that came to mind during break time I'd like to tell. This occurred with another talk show host of another radio station that I was with, and this host attended a class I was giving up in the eastern part of Virginia.
You mean you don't do just this show?
Well, I do get an invitation every now and then.
All right. We'll get it.
So this host lived in Washington, D.C. I do not recall the name of the street at the intersection, but she said it was right within two blocks of her house. And in the 10 years she had lived there, there were at least two accidents a week, many of them very severe with serious injuries. She asked if there was something wrong with the energy there. I found four demons hanging out. Moved them suckers out to another dimension. A year later, which was only about a month ago, I did another show with her, and on the show she told the audience there had been two minor fender benders in the last year.
Man.
Now, we did the same thing for a truck driver once. Now, there may be other truck drivers out there listening tonight that could verify this, but he said that Interstate 44, I believe it goes out of St. Louis out towards Oklahoma.
Sure does.
He said, that is undoubtedly the worst road I've ever driven in my life. Now, this was about 2 years ago. And this is a fellow that he used to call me from time to time. I never did meet him. And I said, well, let me see what I can do about it. You let me know if you notice anything. A few months later, he calls back. He said, I've made two runs out 44, and he said, it's a different road. He said, the energy is different. He said, it's just not like driving the same place anymore.
That's strange.
Now, that was strange for us, really. I mean, the intersection, well, that didn't surprise me a whole lot. We had another a place in Johnson City, Tennessee, that someone called my attention to. There had been a number of wrecks there, and people burned to death in the vehicles. He said it's just all kind of really weird and horrific things that happened. Well, that place was possessed. We moved those spooks on, and to my knowledge, there's not been an accident there since, and that was about 4 years ago.
What would create the negative energy around highways, for example?
That is a good question, and I don't know that I have the answers. I suspect that any time there has been a violent act upon the land anywhere, it creates what I call a negative energetic pattern. Now, I was doing some work down in Louisiana here about a year ago, and I told the folks, I said, well, now you've got a bunch of energetic patterns in your in the property there. And as near as I can tell, I don't know specifically what happened, but they appear to go back around the Civil War. And they said, but this is a new house. I said, yeah, but you built it on old dirt. So apparently these energetic patterns stay there. See, scientifically stated, energy is impressed upon matter. Well, thoughts and actions are energy, and the earth and our physical bodies and our homes are all matter. And I tell people, if you doubt this, go visit a funeral home. Feel the energy. Go visit a party house. Feel the energy. What's the difference? The difference is the emotions of the people that visit these places.
Have you been able to, when you're dealing with this kind of energy, you feel it. You don't record it like we were talking about. You don't have any machinery.
No, sir.
But, I mean, is it like a vibration, Raymond?
I do not physically feel this. It's just a knowing. Now, I have friends that are more sensitive than I, and they can feel this. I mean, I've seen one of my friends, the hair literally stand up on his arm. But I don't seem to have that ability to physically feel things. It's just a knowing.
Can we do an experiment?
I was afraid you were going to ask.
Yeah, we're going to do the water stuff in just about 10 minutes or so when we come back. But let's think of something that we can do where you can use this energy.
Well, if it's a beneficial product, project, it would help a lot of people. I'm willing to give it a try, like on the other water projects. I couldn't promise, but they worked.
Now, should we do it for one or for many?
Well, I always like to do something that would benefit as many people as possible. And see, we have a large listening audience. Now, what I found out there is if I were doing physical hands-on work or even energy work, it's much easier to do in front of an audience than it is one-on-one. Why? Because you have the combined thoughts and intents of the audience. And that's what you have here tonight.
All right. So let's see.
Make the suggestion, and I'll figure out if we can do it or if we should try it.
Let me ask you a couple possibilities, and
okay,
then you pick one. One would be a week of calm weather. Another one would be a week, and I only say a week because I want to test it, a week of calmness in Iraq. How about one of those two?
Well, let me just ask, George. If I have to pick, assuming I can get permission to do it, I would definitely pick the calmness in Iraq. Why? Because we can put up with the weather.
Well, there's no question that's the most important.
All right. Let me ask, do I have permission ability to do this? Now, in all honesty, George, I have always shied away from working on projects over there because those people's fault as long as there have been people there, and I didn't figure one hillbilly like me was going to change it. So I just didn't get involved.
And I wouldn't blame you if you didn't on this case.
Well, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told you the first time you asked me to change water. We don't know, we can't do it. So we got nothing to lose. And if it doesn't work, at least I've tried. This is my attitude in life. I would rather try and fail than not try at all.
What I would say would be a success would be after this week, maybe the national media would say, this was the lowest death rate in Iraq, for example.
Okay.
Something like that, to me, would be successful. You agree?
All right. Now, I would agree. Okay. Now, let me say something, George. When I start into a case, most time I really don't know what I'm doing. I go with what comes. And what I'm finding right here is that the spirit of death is on that land. Now, on some occasions, and here again, I'm just going on what the person's condition was before and what the was after, but death has a spirit. And on some occasions, it is possible to remove the spirit of death from a person. We did this for a little 7-week-old baby about a month ago when they thought he was going to die that night. And the last word I got this past week, he's still alive.
Good for you.
Now, here, did we know we could do it? No, we just didn't know that we couldn't. So what I'm going to do here, George, is banish the spirit of death from all the land over there where our troops are. Now, this is what I have learned, I think.
And are you doing this just for our troops, or are you going to do it for everybody out there?
Well, I suppose we could do it for everybody.
Yeah, let's try that.
I mean, I'm certainly partial to the troops, though.
Well, I understand. I am, too. But
what I find, and this is what I call a hierarchy of energy. I'll explain it in my simple terms, is that everything has a frequency. Now, a lot of times I say things I cannot really explain very well, but everything has a frequency. If it has enough energy, it will have what I call a life force. And if it still has enough more energy, it will have a spirit. For example, diseases have spirits. In Native American philosophy, everything has a spirit. So we are using a term here that I got, using a technique I got from my Indian medicine woman friend, Evelyn Rattray, up in British Columbia. She's a lady up there that I've learned so much from, worked with her, and used what I've learned from her to help a lot of other people. So we're working in the process of what I call banishing the spirit of death from that land. Now, my pendulum will run in a counterclockwise manner as I do this. I'm going to try to describe exactly what we're doing. All right, the next thing is to deactivate the spirit of death in that land. And that doesn't take very long.
All right.
Takes a long time to get rid of the spirit. And the next thing is to scramble the frequency. This is a terminology I use that I got from scrambling channels on TV and this type of thing. And I found that in many cases, most cases, it works. So we want to scramble the frequency of death in that land. And I'm going to adjust it to, this is a terminology that I use, and I call it fifth dimensional energy, and I'll get over my head if I say very many words here, but it's based on the idea that the earth and the people are moving into another dimension. This has been prophesied for many years, and the heartbeat of the earth is speeding up as near as we can tell. That's what the Native Americans called it. I think the scientific term is human resonance. But here again, I'm basing this just on my dowsing and on discussing it with other people. I don't have any kind of equipment to measure it with, except my pendulum. All right, now, what I want to do is invite in the spirit of life, the spirit of peace,
mm-hmm.
and the spirit of freedom. Now, George, what I do on most every time it rains, I invite the spirit of freedom into every drop of rain that falls. Are we making any progress? Well, I can't prove that we are, but I would rather try than not try. And if we had just a small portion of the listening audience out there tonight willing to do the same thing, we could make a big difference.
So if they join hands with you, basically, it makes it even stronger.
Yes, it's what I call pooling our mental resources.
All right, so as of right now, you've done this.
My pendulum is still going when I invited in the spirit of life, the spirit of peace, and the spirit of freedom. And it's slowing down. See, I can usually tell how much energy is required simply by the length of time and the velocity at which a pendulum moves. I mean, there's nothing magical about it. It's simply a tool that gives me information.
All right, so what we've done is we're attempting to bring the death rate in Iraq, civilians and U.S. troops down to a minimum, and we're going to try it for a week. And if it works, we may have you come back, Raymond, to just do it forever.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity. I kind of figured you'd come up with some kind of experiment, but I didn't know it was going to be this.
Neither did I.
Well, that's okay. That means there's probably a force involved here a little bit higher than you and me.
That's a good point. I hope it works.
So do I.
And I guess the results will be almost instant, won't they?
Well, I can't predict, but I would think so. Now, you ask about if I had any equipment, and I don't. But I've talked to three people this week that have what is known as QXCI machines. The listening audience may be familiar with them. If they're not, they're what I call a radionics machine with a college education.
All right.
And they're fascinating little devices that you can measure the energy of a human being or of a home, school, office, or whatever. Well, one of my clients has one that she treats her clients with this device. And we created this DVD that would also do a lot of this work. So she writes the person's name on a piece of paper, puts it in front of her computer, puts the DVD in, while she is working on the person with her normal methods. The client does not know that this other method is being used.
Okay.
She said she is getting tremendous results with this. I've got this feedback from three different ones this week. Not only that, she's making lists of about a dozen schools where her relatives' kids go to school and putting the list in front of her either computer or TV, playing this thing, and the energy, according to the measurements of her QXCI machine, is greatly increased. So what I did, got to thinking about something. And I knew we had a lot of books, DVDs, CDs out there. And I asked her, I said, would you check the level of freedom in these schools and with any human being that you are working with over the next week, measure it before you play this DVD and then check it afterwards. She said the level of freedom went out the roof. Now, how did it do that? Because these things were already out there in circulation. I don't even know who has them. But apparently...
What are they? Are they music or instructional?
Oh, no, they're instructional. They were filmed in my class.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's like being in your class.
Yeah, we've got one that raises the energy of water. We've got one that clears out the energy of homes. Then we got some more that's just instructions. But those are the two main ones. And the one that clears out homes, the reason we created it, we'd already had evidence that we could change the water with it. So the reason was to help eliminate abuse on women and kids. And I knew that the homes that needed it would never get it. So we had to design something, and it wasn't anything more than a thought form that we put in that thing, that it would change the energy of anywhere that it was focused. So what I tell people is write the name of the home or the people on a little card, put it in front of your TV set, and as I raise the energy on your TV screen, you have the intent of focusing this upon the home, and we're getting results with it. I don't think this has ever been done before.
That's amazing.
Oops. Now, but we already had a bunch of these things out there that I had forgot about putting the Spirit of Freedom in. So I just asked, can I put the Spirit of Freedom into everything I've ever written, everything we've ever filmed? And it seems to be working. I'd like to have more people experiment with it to find out just how well it's working.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see this week unfold in Iraq and see what happens. Stay with us. We're going to talk about water. There's going to be another water experiment. You might want to get a glass of water. And I'll also ask you, Raymond, when we come back, some people are listening on headphones. Should they put the headphones over the water? We'll talk about that when we come back. Special hello tonight to Buzz the Alien from the Nighthawk Zone. Keep your head above water, Buzz. Keep pushing. You'll be okay. We'll be back in a moment with Raymond Grace next hour. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll give you an opportunity to chat with him. Up next, the water experiment. Raymond, I always thought dowsing was walking around with a stick, you know, and looking for water, and then the stick would move, and you'd go, that's it. Let's dig right here. I thought that's what it was. Is it?
Well, yes, but that's a very limited definition of dowsing. You see, this is the way I figured it when I got into dowsing, because I've heard about these people. They've been here in the hills where I live for as long as there have been people here, and when someone wanted to drill a well, they would get a water dowser to come with a forked stick and tell them where to drill the well. Well, I got to thinking about it, and I think if there's something within the human mind that can detect a vein of water several feet or maybe even several hundred feet under the earth, there's got to be more here than the five senses. So I found that I learned about using a pendulum, and I thought, well, why don't we apply the same principles to finding water to finding any other type of energy? And I honestly believe we can probably find anything that we can create a name for.
Okay, now the water, you know, we did this experiment when you were on with me in June of 2005. We're going to do it again tonight. It's one heck of an experiment, but why water? Why are we doing an experiment on water?
Well, water is probably the one most important element on Earth, because regardless of how many computers, microwaves, cell phones, and technologies that people have, their very existence upon this planet depends upon 6 inches of dirt and water.
Okay, now someone sent me a little message, and they said, when we do this, I'm listening to the radio right now with my headsets. Do I put my headsets over the water? What does he do?
Now, it's not necessary.
Okay.
At least I don't believe it is, because we had a lot of feedback. See, we first did this in March of 04. And to this day, I still have people come up to me and said, I was listening that night, and I tasted that water. It was different. I drank it. My aches and pains went away. I watered my flowers with it. They didn't wilt. I poured it in my fish tank. He cleaned the fish tank up. I mean, the stories go on and on and on.
The story of Lourdes and its healing powers, do you think it has to do with the energy in the water?
Yes, because I had a friend that went over there and brought back a bottle of water, and we measured the energy field of it. It was a blind experiment. We had about 6 containers of water, and I didn't know which was which. They had a number taped on the side of them, and the number corresponded with the location or the source of the energizing. And my job was to set the water out on the table, and the person was dousing the energy field of it with his dousing rods. And the energy of the water from Lourdes, if I remember correctly, went out about 19 feet. Well, normal tap water, on an average, is going to go out about 4 to 6 inches. So it was obviously pretty good water. And then I had also been asked to energize some water, and this was a surprise. First time it had ever been measured like this, to my knowledge. And it went out about 60 feet. That's the night that we put one drop of it in a swimming pool, and then we expanded the energy of the swimming pool out to...
Just one drop, that's
it. With one drop, in about a 23,000-gallon swimming pool.
All right, so for us to create our own mixture here, what do you recommend? A glass, a pitcher, what?
It doesn't matter.
All right. So, everybody, get your water ready, and... What do they do with it after you do this?
Well, it depends. George, they can put an intent into the water because, here again, energy is impressed upon matter, and their thoughts are energy. The water is matter, and they can put an intent into this water as to what they wish to accomplish with it and then drink it.
Okay, so if maybe they're sick, they want the water to help cure them a little quicker?
Well, yes. We had one feedback from someone out in there in California. It was a group of disabled people that had ordered some water that had been advertised that I had energized that hadn't got delivered, so they called me, and I said, well, heck, you don't have to wait for it. Put a container on the table, and I'll energize it for you, the biggest container as you want. You can put 5-gallon buckets there if you want to. And the feedback came, it was kind of remarkable. One lady said that she was developing a cold sore, which would normally take 3 days to go away, and she just stuck her finger in the water, rubbed it on the cold sore, and it was gone in 3 hours. Now, we can't promise it's going to work for everybody, but the interesting thing was they had an old dog there, about 13 years old, that was deaf because the dog did not respond whenever they spoke to it. Well, they poured some in the dog's dish. Within a few days, I got an email that dog is hearing. Now, we didn't know if this was going to happen. We get all kind of weird things like this, and I believe the people are honest. I don't know the people personally, but I honestly don't think people are just making up stories like that and sending me.
All right, so let's put the water where? Next to the radio?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
What I did here in order to save some time, I went ahead and did the work during the station break. On this water, but basically what I did If most of the water out there will not have the spirit of the water in it. Now, water has a spirit, but that doesn't mean that the spirit of water is present in all water. If they got it out of the tap, I can almost promise them that the spirit of the water isn't in it.
I would agree. You know, and Dr. Emoto has done experiments on water. He'd agree with you, too.
Yes. There is only one place that I have, in any restaurant, where I've had a glass of water set on the table that actually contained the spirit of water, and it was on the Hopi Reservation in northern Arizona.
And you could taste it right away?
Well, you could
feel
taste it. You could feel it.
Okay.
Now, the reason why is the spirit of water will not stay where the spirit of greed is. What we've learned is that the attitude of a landowner will affect the quality of water in the well. So this is, we had an experiment that worked for a while and went bad because the spirit of the water just wouldn't stay in the water.
That's fascinating.
So, I mean, this we just learned as we went. We didn't know it all when we started. We just see that something isn't working, so we checked to find out why.
Well, you know what's also amazing? You know, what percent are we water? 75,
80%? Well, depending on who you want to believe, I've got figures anywhere between 70 and 90. But I think the most intelligent one is the younger a person is, the more water they have in their body.
That's interesting.
I've heard that that babies have maybe 90%, and then people 70 years old may be down to 70% or less.
So we need more water in our system to stay younger.
Well, it hydrates the body, yes. But let me get on with what we did here,
yes, sir.
Because we've got to get in for the next station break.
All right.
What I did, I banished the spirit of greed from the water, just like we banished the spirit of death from our rock. Okay? And then we deactivated it, we scrambled its frequency and adjusted to the frequency of pure water. Now, I've in the last four pages of my little book, Techniques That Work For Me, I describe how to do this step by step. And it's also in the DVD, step by step. So in case anybody's trying to take notes and want to do it, they could get the information there if they chose to. All right, now, what we did then, we had to remove any negative thought forms from the water. And we had to remove some demonic forces because somebody out there had some really bad water. I ran into some in the Bronx, New York, back in November, that the lady said the water there was terrible. She couldn't drink it. I said, I got good news and I got bad news. First off, there are no negative entities in the water. The bad news is the demons chased them all out. So what we did, we put a filter on her house.
All right.
And 2 days later, I get an email saying that her water tastes fine.
Now, when you say filter, what, a spiritual filter?
A mental filter, yes.
Okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. And it apparently worked because she wrote and thanked me for it. So we had to chase the demons out of this stuff when we had to do a depossession on the water because actually we don't find as much, but water can have negative entities. It can have demonic forces in it. But it is rare, but it does happen. So we cleared all of that, and we had to do that before the spirit of the water would come into the water. And also curses, this any type of negative energy. So I did all of that during the station break.
All right.
So what I want to do at this point right now is invite in the spirit of the water.
And I've got my cup right next to you.
All right.
Here.
Now, bottled water that was bottled under negative conditions will not contain the spirit of water. Actually, if I have to buy water when I'm traveling, I just walk up to the shelves that have the water, uh-huh, and I check to see if the spirit of water is in it. And if it isn't, I leave it on the shelf.
How do you know that? You can feel it.
I just pull out my pendulum and ask, is the spirit of water in here?
Okay. All right.
Real simple. And all right. Now, what we're doing there is bringing in the spirit of water into your water out there. And now we're going to give thanks here that the water, this water is energized to the highest appropriate level for the purpose that it shall be used. Now, you notice I'm not making any judgment here or any specific request because people out there will have different needs, mm-hmm, for this. Now, I would suggest to everyone out there that you talk to this water because it's alive, and you got to respect the water. Respect is a very basic ingredient here because you need to realize that without it, you wouldn't exist. So it's really the essence of life. And just talk to the water and ask it to go into your body and do whatever you need done. If you can create a mental picture of this taking place, even though it may be symbolic, it doesn't have to be factual. Just create a mental picture. You can picture it dissolving whatever illness you have. We have a couple of people that pictured it dissolving the arthritic joints, the calcium buildup, and they literally eliminated arthritis in their bodies.
I believe it.
Well, these people believe it. I mean, I get overrun with mail on this. Now, in all honesty, most of the mail isn't written like this was the condition before, this is what I did, this was the condition afterwards. Most of it just says, really appreciate your help with the water, it tastes better, or I don't hurt anymore, or my kid behaves better, or whatever. Because a lot of people have put it in the drinking water of their children and put a thought form in there that they learn faster, behave better, this type of thing.
Well, what happens when you run out of this water?
Well, I would suggest don't try to buy any water, because I'm not selling water. I'm giving it away. But what I do sell is information. And the information is in the back of my techniques book, and it's in the water Energized Water DVD. And what I see, whenever you do something for someone, you make them dependent upon you. I don't want to do that.
No, that's true.
It's the old saying, give a person a fish and you feed them for a day, you teach them to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. I'm in the business of teaching people to do this. And I'm doing it the only way I know how, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to put it out there. But also, I want to thank you for the opportunity to do that work in Iraq.
Well,
because, you know, I got to thinking during break time that a lot of your listeners there have sons, daughters, husbands over there. Georgie, if we save one of them this next week, it was worth the effort.
Absolutely. And, you know, if this really works, and I think it can, the kind of notoriety you're going to get when somebody picks up on this in the mainstream media?
Yeah, and I don't know what to do with it.
Well, you call us. We'll give you some advice.
Oh, by golly, I'll do it. Because, actually, I've got about all the business I can handle right now.
I'm going to drink this glass of water.
It's still going, George. It's still going.
Oh, so you...
I want to put a good taste in it.
Well, I'm glad I still have a little bit left then.
All right.
So all right. I have to wait until this stops?
It stopped now.
All right,
let me check the average energy of the water out there. All right, now, George, I'm just checking this on my scale. The average energy of water out of a tap would probably be on something called a Bova scale, would be probably less than 1,000.
Okay.
This seems to be up in the 21,500 range on average.
So,
go ahead.
So
go ahead. We're done now.
You've less than 1,000, and you say 21,000?
Yes, sir.
You've gone up by 210% already.
Well, according to my dowsing on this, using a Bova scale, and there may be people out there that have forgotten more about Bovis than I know, and probably are, but I'm saying the stuff works for me, the unit of measurement I use. My energized water usually goes above 18,000, and sometimes up in as high as 22,000. So the average on this seemed to go about 21,500.
That's amazing. All right, now I can drink it, right?
All right, now not everybody may agree with me, but that's just been my findings on it.
I'm cured, Raymond. You know what? You learned this at a very young age, I think, didn't you?
No, not really. I didn't, George.
No?
No.
You weren't raised this way?
Not exactly. What happened, George? I'm just a product of these Appalachian mountains here and very...
Are you Native American?
Say again?
Are you Native American?
Well, part of them seem to think so, but not so much by blood, but more by spirit.
Okay.
I've just always related to that type of thing.
Maybe you're
back
right.
When I was a little kid, I always thought I was supposed to be a Native American. It kind of bothered me because I wasn't, but I've made friends with a lot of them, and for the most part, we've got along good. We've exchanged information, and it's been beneficial to both of us.
Well, that's fascinating. It really is.
But here again, I have friends in all walks of life and all philosophies, and we've been doing some work recently with a lot of the Buddhist folks and folks over in Asia.
You know what's interesting about this experiment you did about energizing water?
Uh-huh.
Why is it that baptisms include water?
That's a good question, George, which I probably can't answer, but I certainly think you're on to something.
There's got to be a tie-in.
Yes, sir, there is.
The energy of the water and the baptism, it's all related.
I suppose properly programmed that the immersing one in the water or sprinkling with the water or whatever would re-energize the person. I really have no doubt about it, but I've never really considered it.
I tell you what, if I wake up one day this week and the headlines read, for the first time since this war began, there have been no fatalities on such and such a day or any given week, that's going to be amazing.
Well, and
or at least minimal.
This goes beyond you and me. Our listening audience out there can have a greater impact on this. You provided opportunity. I provided a little bit of guidance. But your listening audience out there is the real driving force.
They're driving the car.
Yes.
We provide the vehicle and the keys and the fuel, and they're driving the car. I wonder what kind of car we provided. Huh? What do you think? What kind of a car would you bring to the table here, Raymond?
Say again.
What kind of a car would you bring to the table?
Well, I drive an old antique truck.
Just like old Sam Walton used to, huh?
Yeah, I've got an old 81 truck with antique tags on it.
Good for you. Hey, they're starting to call already, but we're not going to grab them until the top of the hour. All kinds of questions for Raymond Grace. Do you take emails off your website? Can they send you a message?
If the message is sent to the website, yes. My website's located in New Mexico. And then my webmaster will then forward them on to me.
Okay, very good. And that's Raymond spelled R-A-Y-M-O-N, grace.com. That's his web address.
And our schedule is on there, too. And I believe you've had a fellow named Daniel Brinkley on.
Oh, I love Daniel. Wonderful.
Okay, Daniel and I are going to be the keynote speakers in Johnson City, Tennessee at something called a Coptic Conference in early April, and the schedule is on our website.
Okay, that's under 2007 scheduled appearances?
Yes, uh-huh.
That's it right there? Okay, super. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, we're going to open up all the phone lines. We have installed some new wildcard lines, so we've got many of those. And the East and West and first-time caller lines, as well as the international line, will take your questions and calls for our special guest tonight, Raymond Grace. His website, RaymondGrace.com, the only official Raymond Grace website. We'll be back.